Hey guys, it's Kayla Yule from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken nuggets, now available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.
We have to keep them as level as possible, but we're also just losing our shit constantly. Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I'm John R. Bray.
And I am Heather B. Armstrong.
Today we're going to talk about probably a number of different things because we do have a tendency to tangent and ramble, but chief among them will be trying to keep our kids balanced day to day.
Balanced and happy.
Balanced and happy emotionally, physically. So this episode will be 37 hours long. There's really no good answer here.
I guess the answer is you can't.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. 37 hours or about 3 seconds.
Marla's teacher this year, we may have talked about this, last year her teacher was kind of a jokester. I think he's kind of getting bored of doing what he's doing. I don't think he provided the structure that she needed. And she came home every day in a fit of despair because something had gone wrong during the day. And this year, the teacher's very, very different. She's very organized and regimented. And she comes home every day from school just really happy. It's a big, big change. Yesterday, she came in and she went to the bathroom. She was super happy. And then she went into the bathroom and couldn't get out. Something was going wrong with the lock on the door. And there was nothing wrong with the lock. She just couldn't figure out how to get the door open. And this went on for like 5 minutes and she's like banging on the door. I mean, of course she's terrified. And I finally just talked her into how to open the door. And we finally got her out and she was just hysterical. Just completely hysterical. Of course, anybody would be, but it's like
after being locked in. Sure. I mean,
if it's going from like the high to the low and managing that with two children, I can't imagine managing that with more than two children because the highs and the lows are frequent, catch me off guard, and usually come in the middle of a deadline or I need to leave for an appointment or we have to get in the car and go to the dentist. And some existential crisis has happened. Holding my shit together and being the parent that, you know, because I can remember having questions and having feeling insecure and, you know, being in a really bad mood and my mother and my father are trying to manage that. When I'm trying to manage 40 million things in my head to keep straight, sometimes I feel like I'm failing at it dramatically.
Well, it's really hard. It's hard to manage. I mean, I remember those times too, but I also, like, there's nothing that can be done. Like, you're moody or you're pissed off or something terrible happened, and it's almost like your parents try to help you reason through it, and it makes it worse. Like, I think at a certain point, you just want to be pissed off. You don't want to be, but you need to be. But as a parent, I mean, I didn't realize that when I was the pissed off one, but as a parent now, it's so hard to wrap my head around that, and it makes it really frustrating.
I remember wanting to hear from my mother, just, I'm sorry that you're feeling this way. This must be really tough for you to feel this way. Like some sort of validation that what I was feeling was not wrong, that what I was feeling was a true feeling. It was an honest response to something. And my mother always said the right thing. She would always say, it must be so hard that you are feeling this. This must be so hard for you to be going through this. And then she would always follow up with, I promise you it's going to be okay. I'm here. And so those are the words that I go to when they come to me with insecurities or they come to me, the world's going to end. Did you hear that? Did we talk about that? That rumor that that conspiracy theory that the world was going to end on September 23rd.
Oh, no.
It was
something, well, it didn't end. So
it didn't end, yes, but... You know. There was it was going around at school, and then I read a little bit about it online, and Lita was a little obsessed with it and was very, very worried. And calming her nerves about that was really difficult because she didn't want her nerves to be calmed about that.
She was like legitimately worried the world was going to end.
Yeah.
I mean, did you explain to her that those things come up from time to time?
Yeah.
The world is supposed to end like multiple times a year.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
But she's like, you know, the hurricanes and the fires and the earthquakes. And I mean, she's like, it's all adding up. It's all adding up. And I'm like, you're right. It's kind of true.
Yeah, that is true. Volcanoes now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe it is going to end. Maybe the date was just wrong.
The world will end. Want to tell her that, the date was wrong. The world will end. Oh, I feel terrible. I texted you this. I feel really terrible. Life has just been completely insane for you and for me the last few weeks. It always is insane. I always think, oh, you know, things are going to settle down next week. And then I look at my calendar and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck? I had run around last Thursday. I had run around all day long getting things done, dentist appointments, and I had to go to the dentist first, and then they had to go to the dentist, and then they had to go to piano, and I mean, all of this craziness. And I was driving home from a school community council meeting, which I signed up to do.
In your free time?
My free time.
Nice.
I was driving home, and I realized that my headlight was out. All of the pressure in my tires, because the weather changed immediately, all the pressure in my tires is down really low, and I'm about 5,000 miles past when my oil needs to be changed.
Yep.
And I have to run because I'm going to see someone speak at a club, give a lecture. So I'm running home and to get a few more things done. And I walk in and I'm just, I mean, I have my moments like my children have their moments. And I'm just like, oh God, my God. Like, and she's like, what's going on? And I said, oh, my headlight's out and the oil needs to be changed. And I don't know when I'm going to do that. Like, I don't know when I am going to go make my car safe to drive. I don't know when I'm going to make that time. And she got really worried, and I said, "Listen, I'm okay. You know, everything is good. Everything is fine." And a couple nights ago, she asked me if she could go see the therapist next because she's going through all of these emotions about school and about everything, about her father, about, you know, what's going to happen in high school. And then I said, "Okay, well, where do I fit into this?" Because I know I do. And she said, well, you know, like I just don't, she goes, I know your life is so busy, and I know that you don't ever have like a moment to like sit down and breathe. And the other day when you came in and your car was all messed up, like I wanted to Google how do you fix mom's headlight. Like, that's what I wanted to do, is Google how do I fix mom's tires. And oh my God, I had to hold my shit together. I wanted to bawl. And I just, like, I hugged her and I said, oh, honey, I'm so sorry that you felt pressure. Like, you don't need to worry about those things. I will take care of it. I will figure it out. But I realize just as much as their moods have an effect on me, because my God, Marlo's moods, I got to do something about it. As much as their moods affect me, my moods affect them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think sometimes kids are better at hiding that, or maybe they're just less aware that they're being affected by our moods, so it doesn't come through as much. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if you are affected by your kid's mood, you know what's causing it. But sometimes I wonder with kids if they're perceptive enough in the moment to realize that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really sweet that she wanted to fix it. Heartbreaking, but sweet.
Yeah.
It's hard too, because like everybody goes from being fine to being crazy, basically, you know, just to feeling super overwhelmed, like at the drop of a hat. Mm-hmm. But I think it's different when you are that person, because it's not so drop of the hat, because you've sort of felt that coming on. But when you're a spectator seeing it happen, it seems like this sudden 180.
Right.
And I think that makes it kind of hard to deal with, to process it, to watch it happen to someone else and know how to handle it or what to say.
Yeah. Marlo in the morning, you just don't know what you're going to get. You just don't know. It's a crapshoot. And Lita's really sensitive to it too. She's very sensitive to every... Lita is so aware of how everyone in the room is feeling. And it's a wonderful quality of hers, because she's so considerate and she worries about people and she wants to help people. But like, I'm noticing now, especially when Marlo in the morning, probably 70% of the time is just fucking awful. Like, she's a bear, an angry, pissed off bear.
And just in a super shitty mood the whole morning.
Super shitty mood and mad that she's awake. And and then she can't make a decision about breakfast. And so she sits at the countertop and just scowls. And Lita is eating half a box of Honey Nut Cheerios. And as she's pouring, she's like looking around the room like, is Marlo going to explode? I don't know. And I ignore it, because you just cut off the oxygen to the fire. Because if I engage Marlo, what she does is she's just like, she's going to start yelling at me or being like, I don't know. I don't know what I want to eat for breakfast. I hate being awake. Why am I so tired? And it's like, God, her mood, that bad mood just is like, fuck. It's this awful, dark, dank blanket that hangs over us sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, does Lita, is she, obviously she's really perceptive to the mood. So is her tendency to try and read the room and then act accordingly? So if everyone in the room is in a great mood, she's going to be in a great mood.
Yes.
So does she then find herself stuck if Marlo is in a shit mood and you're in a good mood and she's feeling okay, so she doesn't really know how to balance it? Because obviously if she's in a good mood toward Marlo, that's not going to work.
Yeah, what she does is she sort of retreats into herself and she doesn't poke the bear. She does not poke that bear. She knows now not to poke it. I have said to her enough times, like, we're not going to get her out of this mood, so trying to appease it is pointless, so stop. In fact, your attempt to get her out of this mood is making it worse.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's hard. That's
a stressful place for her to be, for anyone to be, really, to try and accommodate across the board.
I think it's something that she got from me. I mean, I was always trying to make sure that my mom was happy and my dad was happy. Marlo is a lot like my brother. Apparently, my brother had these moods all the time growing up and did not like hard things and would collapse and complain and moan and groan when confronted with hard things. And I eventually told my brother, oh, wow. We've talked about this, I eventually basically said to my brother that if he wasn't depressed, then he was just the biggest asshole in the world.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm watching Marlo closely because her emotions are so intense. Her emotions are really, really intense. She, this morning, got fixated on something, on an interaction that had happened 2 weeks ago. Some random interaction where she said something and Lita said to her, that was mean, and Lita laughed at her and she felt embarrassed. And it took me over a half hour this morning while trying to get them ready for school to get that out of her. She wouldn't talk to me about it, but she was like crying and pulling at her hair. And I finally got her to say the words, and then she just started sobbing. And she just like crawled into my lap and put her head up underneath my neck and just sobbed.
And this is like weeks old.
Yeah, yeah.
And she didn't, like, is it that she didn't really process that when it happened, or maybe brushed it off?
So it started, I was helping her make her bed. And then I said, you need to put your pillows in the bed. And she sort of collapsed on the pillows. And I said, what's going on? And she said, are you ever around friends and suddenly you remember something really embarrassing that happened and then you just get really embarrassed and don't want to talk? And I said, what are you talking about? And she says, I don't want to talk about it. I said, explain to me what you're talking about. She's like, I don't want to talk about it. 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 Like I did not know what was going on. And so I said, okay, finish making your bed. And I went and finished getting ready. And I came upstairs and she is just lying on the couch, just really tortured, just tortured. And I had to go over there and sit with her and I had to completely pull it out of her. And once I pulled it out of her, she just, like, the emotion just exploded. And this is 7 o'clock in the morning.
You're just trying to get, you know,
yeah,
fed, yeah, clothed, out the door.
Yeah. Like I'm thinking about everything that I need to get done today, which is always an overwhelming thing for me in the morning, is like, oh my God, the calendar, holy shit. And I'm having to completely shove that in. Compartmentalize. I had to compartmentalize all of that and just sit there and be really, really present for her right then, because she's got to go to school. She's got to, like, pull herself together and go learn. And I'm the parent. I'm the only one there that can help her climb that hill to get to a place where she can start walking.
It's hard too, because you have to sympathize or empathize with what's causing those feelings. But it's a challenge when, as an adult, you look at the situation and it's bullshit in some ways. Like, you should
ridiculous.
Be over it.
Okay.
Like, this is absolutely insane, because you can't really get yourself back into the headspace at that age. Like, you can kind of remember it or understand that, you know, they're in a different place, but you can't get there. Like, there have been times where I'll pick Lexton up from school and I can tell as he's walking to the car, like, I'll be sitting there listening to music. I can watch him walk up and I'm like, oh fuck. Like, I can see it in his face that he's going to sit in the car and just grunt and groan until I ask him how his day was. And then he's going to tell me it was awful. And 9 times out of 10, it's awful because of this 1 2-minute thing that happened at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And I know that to him, it's a huge deal. Like, I can understand that it's a huge deal, but at the same time, it's like some kid in the hall said something or did this or did that, and it ruined the entire 8-hour day. Like, how the hell, really? Because that shit is going to happen every day for the rest of your life. I know. Like, it's not that I don't feel bad, but it's so hard to get back in that place and to imagine if that's how I reacted to things like that, I would spend my life, like, in a rage. I know.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I remind myself in these moments, I'll tell a quick story here about the first time that I ever fell in love. It was in French class. Have we talked about this? I never know.
I don't think so. I'm ready, though.
Okay.
Let's do it.
It was French 3. I was a junior. He was a senior. And he sat behind me and was friends with the guy in front of me. And I knew the guy in front of me. And we were in French 3 together. And I never really noticed him the first semester at all. Like, I didn't pay any attention to him. And then a few days before Christmas break, my friend and he got into a conversation. And I joined the conversation. And his name is David. David Smith.
The
most ordinary name. Like, I've tried to Google him and it's like, you can't Google David Smith.
No.
He turned to me and he said, oh my God, I can't believe this. He said, I'm reading this book and you remind me of the lead female character. And I was like, oh really? And he's like, yeah. I said, what book? And he's like, it's The Fountainhead. You know about The Fountainhead, right?
I do, yeah. Wow.
He's like, you should really read it. You should read it. And so I went.
So you hadn't, you didn't know about
it? No, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anything about Ayn Rand. And I went to the library and checked it out and read it in 2 days and realized that he was the embodiment of Howard Rourke, who is the lead character in The Fountainhead. This brilliant, gorgeous, tall, kind of aloof and indifferent man who, and then the lead female character is this tall, blonde, gorgeous, powerful woman. And he had told me that I, reminded him of her, Dominique. I can't believe I remember all of this. And I became obsessed. I became completely obsessed. And when we got back to school, I told him I'd read it and he just sort of shrugged me off, exactly like the lead character would have done. And I became completely obsessed with this person. And I'm 16 years old and I fall head over heels for him. And I figured out during the day where his classes were so that I would pass him in the hallway.
Okay.
And sometimes we would make very, very, very suggestive long eye contact.
But that was it? Like there was no communicating beyond?
We talked a little bit, but it was the eye contact in the hallway. And I would come home, like it consumed me. And I would come home in the worst mood if David Smith had not looked at me in the hallway. And I would just come home and I would just be horrifyingly depressed about it and like awful. And I know that, and my mom got to the point where she was like, "What happened with David today?"
She would just know if you came home in shitty mood, it was because of him.
Oh yeah. And I'm constantly, whenever my kids are coming home and they're like, they come in and they are bringing like all of this rage and insecurity and depression and confusing feelings, like I always go, "Dominique, Howard Rourke, David Smith." "Remember, Heather, remember."
Wow.
Yeah. Because I remember my mom just holding it together and hugging me and saying, "It must be really hard for you to feel this way." It was.
How long did that last?
So that started at Christmas and I continued. So for the entire second semester of my junior year, every single day, I basically stalked him in the hallways to try to get some eye contact.
So we're looking at like 4 or 5 months.
And then he got accepted to Caltech. And before he left, he asked me on a date.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And
after like 5 months of really no communication.
Yeah. Just, yeah. Here and there, he would give me something. And I would spend days cherishing that something, like a conversation.
Oh my God.
And so we went on a date. We went and saw a Star Trek movie. And then ended up back at his house watching some alternative video show on MTV. And he was my first kiss.
Wow.
I was 17. I was 17 years old. Yeah.
Well, those, 5 months of emotional obsession, that worked. It was worth it. So
well,
you kissed, but that, then that was
we
it?
Kissed, like, then we kissed. We kissed. Well, we kissed and it was really, really, really apparent that he wanted to have sex. And I was Mormon and I had never kissed anybody before and I couldn't possibly have sex with him. And so I told him that I needed to go. And that was it. And I was devastated.
And then you never heard from him after that?
Oh, no, actually. Do you want me to give you the whole story?
Oh, let's, yeah, this is good.
He had an email at Caltech and I got email at BYU and we emailed for several years back and forth.
Wait, maybe you've talked about him.
Mm-hmm.
Because this was like in the early days of email where you had to go to the computer lab.
The three computer labs on campus and they were green screens. Yeah. And you had to wait your turn to use the green screen. We remained in contact. And I was in Los Angeles. He was in San Francisco working at a startup. It was the end of 1999. And he said, what are you doing for New Year's? This is Y2K.
You did not spend Y2K with him.
Yes, I did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I did. I spent 3 days with him in San Francisco, Y2K. I got that out of my system. I haven't seen or spoke to him since.
Not that that was pent up or anything. Wow. Was it everything you wanted it to be in high school?
It was, yeah, he was confused about his life. It never struck me that he would ever be confused about that sort of thing. And so got it out of my system and I was like, there's too much more life to live than to continue to think about this person.
Well, you definitely had him on some kind of a pedestal in high school.
Yes.
So he was flawless. And then when you get together and you realize he's really not.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, some of that magic is gone. Mm-hmm. That is hysterical, though. Oh, wow. Obsessing in high school, first kiss, and then Y2K.
And then Y2K.
Of all the New Year's Eves.
Yeah.
That's pretty great. So all that to say that you definitely sympathize with the emotional struggles.
I do. And I sympathize with what my mom went through of, like, what is Heather's mood going to be when she walks through that door? Because sometimes I was gleeful because the eye contact was so good. And I would, you know, come in and I'd be so happy and thinking that David and I were going to spend the rest of our lives together because he looked at me between.
Because he looked at you for yes. 3 seconds? Good Lord.
And my mom always just held it together and I always said the right thing. Part of it too is I'm the only person here. I think we've talked about this. Like, I'm the only one. There is no other person who I can say, listen, why don't you go talk to this other person while I finish getting us ready to leave the house?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to pick, and you can't pick to ignore that because then it just festers throughout the day. It ruins the day and it turns into something even bigger. Mm-hmm. And eventually you have to deal with it because again, it's just like, we are the only person. So you're just delaying the inevitable and probably making it worse.
Hi there, this is Kendra Adachi, and I host the Lazy Genius podcast, and I need to make sure that you have heard about the new KFC chicken nuggets. You have never had nuggets like these before, 100% white meat and hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. KFC has been a family favorite for years, and now we can get all of the delicious KFC flavor we love in one amazing chicken nugget. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken Nuggets, now available at participating KFCs near you.
My kids need to go see an orthodontist, at least get a consultation. And I thought next week was going to calm down for me. And then the consultation is going to take about 2 hours for both of them. And they only have it in the middle of the day. And it's about a half hour drive there and a half hour drive back. So that's a good three.
It was half a day, basically.
Yeah, it's half a day. And my mom was like, you know, I can come do this for you. And I'm like, except that I need to be there. Like, I need to be, the parent needs to be there so that I know what the consultation is saying. Like, what is the dentist needs to tell, the orthodontist needs to tell me what needs to happen.
Like, right, and you have to answer questions. And,
right.
You know.
Like, I really need to be there. And so next Wednesday is like completely shot, gone. It's orthodonture all day long. Orthodonture.
Sounds awesome. Yep. And you already know that, like, it's a week out and you already know, and it's like shadowing everything.
Yeah.
You're already processing that in the back of your mind and panicking about it, understandably, and will continue to until that day comes around, in addition to all the other things that have come up. And then to an outsider, it's going to look like Wednesday comes around and you just snapped and you're having a fucking awful day, which is not the case. You know, maybe the day is shitty, but you've kind of been bracing for that for a while.
Right.
And I bring that up because for you in your own head, that's very obvious. Like, you knew it was coming. This has been a week in the making. But to an outsider, it seems like this sudden, well, she was fine yesterday and now today is shitty. What the hell? And I think that's kind of what it's like with trying to keep our kids balanced. Mm-hmm. Because you send them off to school and they come home and maybe they were happy when they left and now they're not, or maybe they had a terrible morning and they get out of school and they're super happy, and you have to try to dissect that and understand that and brace for that.
Yeah, it's like standing on a wakeboard and trying just to keep the balance, you know? Have you ever gone wakeboarding?
I have never, but I know what it is, and I've been, you know, tubing and other things. So yeah, similar.
It's just the like keeping the balance, because you don't know what wave is going to come.
Right.
And I really have no idea what the mood is going to be when they walk in the door or when they wake up. I mean, Lita's always great in the morning. She's great. It's just we never know what we're going to get with Marlo.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is bracing for, okay, and when they do walk in from school, sometimes I have to take 30 minutes and go sit down with Lita and talk. We have now reached what I had always dreaded, is the school where the Mormons break off and are by themselves and don't include the non-Mormons.
And like so, that happens in the public schools, you're saying? Like just cliques of Mormons?
Her school is predominantly white and predominantly Mormon. They have their own groups, and her group is very small. And she feels like, because it's so small, that she feels different.
Just because she's part of a small group?
Yeah, part of a smaller group. She's like, all these other people have like, you know, six or seven friends, and they're always out doing things together. And I only have these two people here that I hang out with. And yeah, I mean, there are kids who are doing, there's a kid that is doing really aggressive, passive aggressive shit on Instagram and Snapchat. Where,
oh yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah, eighth grade is hard. I told her, I said eighth grade was hard for everybody. Don't let anybody fool you. Everybody's having a hard time in eighth grade. Nobody has a good memory of eighth grade.
Right. Oh yeah, super challenging period.
Yeah.
And they play it up like, well, at least when I was in eighth grade and here in Lexton's district, it's like top of middle school, so you're the top dog. And they kind of play it up from sixth and seventh grade, like you're gonna be top of the school, it's gonna be great. It's not at all. Like, at all. I don't know, and maybe it's worse for girls too, but it sucks.
It's you're just sort of coming, I call it the monstering. You're growing into your body, and your hair is different, and you know, all these changes are happening, and at the same time you're dealing with these social dynamics that completely change. And then yesterday she's such my kid. I said, "Do you have any homework?" And she's like, no, I'm going to try not to scream like she did. She's like, no, I don't. And it's making me angry. And I was like, what? You're angry that you don't have homework? And she's like, I just feel like they are not challenging me enough. And I'm going to get to high school, and they're going to just load me up with homework. And I'm going to be, see, you were supposed to prepare me for this, and you're not preparing me. This sucks.
Oh, my God.
She's like, I don't feel challenged at all. I don't feel like they're pushing me hard enough. So I may need to go talk to her teachers and see if I can, I don't know, enhance her education. This is where homeschooling would work.
Yeah, you could homeschool. If you homeschooled, it would be fine.
If I homeschooled, I could give her homework. Yeah.
You could. Mm-hmm. You could make sure that she just had all the homework she wanted. It'd be great. You wouldn't have any of these problems. I mean, Marlo would probably still be shit to deal with in the morning, though.
Yeah.
Homeschool or not.
Do you guys do the Dibbles test, or is that just a Utah thing?
Dibbles? No.
Dibbles. It's a way of measuring comprehension. Like, they have one for writing, one for reading, and one for math, I believe.
Okay.
And she brought home her scores for reading and reading comprehension a couple days ago. And I was pretty confident that they had sent home the wrong scores, because she, from last year, she's tripled her scores.
Oh, like, wow.
The score that's expected, she's tripled each one of them. There's like seven numbers. And I looked at it and I was shocked. She's come, because we've done a lot of reading in the last year, and I was so proud of her. And I thought, I really, really played it up. Like, I'm super, 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 super proud of you. This is great work and awesome. But I still feel like she experiences a lot of insecurity around everything. She always compares herself to Lita, which is strange because Lita's not competitive that way.
She's just totally self-competitive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those tests, we don't have that one. We have one called PARCC. P-A-R-C-C. I don't remember what the hell it stands for. But it's the same thing. Like, to assess progress, really to help the school grade itself is ultimately what I think these things do.
Right.
And it's so hard because I have really mixed feelings on these standardized tests because I think some of them are absolute bullshit. But then at the same, like, but when he comes home and has done really well on one, I like to make a big deal out of it because it's awesome. But then when a score comes back and it's lower than it should be, I try to minimize it. And I swear he knows I'm just bullshitting in either direction. Like, in the long run, I don't think it really matters. But when he does really well, I try to make it seem awesome. And when he doesn't, I'm like, it's fine. Just standardized test. Don't worry about it. Yeah. He totally knows.
I am a horrible test taker. Horrible, horrifying, terrible test taker. Yeah. I hate him. Hate him.
Yeah. That is exactly how Lexton is. And he has a class this year. I don't remember which one it is. That's like 10% homework, 90% tests. Ugh. And as soon as I heard that on the back to school night, I was just sitting there and I was like, oh, fuck, are you kidding me? This class is going to be hell for that exact reason. Like, he can know the material front to back 100% and then get a C on the test. Almost like it's intentional. I don't know how he manages it. And then comes home in a really terrible mood when he gets it back.
Oh, yeah. Like, last night, Leah brought home a piece of paper that's talking about signing up for parent-teacher conferences for her next week. And it's basically 2.5 hours out of a night to go and visit all 7 of her teachers.
That's super early.
And I looked at her and I said, Lita, and it just came out. I was like, I can't do this. I can't do it. I'm sorry. Like, you're excelling so well in school, and I can't do it. I was like, please don't do this to my life. What the fuck? 2.5 hours out of like a Tuesday night. And it was like, are you serious? God damn it. Like, why did I think that I could sign up for that French class? What was I fucking thinking? There's a person that I'm still communicating with in France. And he wrote me and he said, how are the French classes going?
Oh God. That's tonight, right?
Yeah, mal. Say mal. Yeah, it's. I'm sure they've taken me off the roster. I can't go. Tomorrow's picture day, and I've got to spend two hours doing Lita's hair tonight. That's a 2-hour project.
Oh my God! So that plus conferences is like a whole half day.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I saw that piece of paper, and I just wanted to collapse. I was like, he can't. No.
That's what makes it challenging. Is we have to keep them as level as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also just losing our shit constantly. Like, all the time. I mean, how are you Yeah.
You know, you see people who you think nobody has it all together. Everybody's got their shit. I know this. I'm confident in that. Like, that brings me a little bit of comfort knowing everybody thinks that they're playing it cool, but they've got their own shit going on.
Oh yeah.
They may not be losing it as magnificently as we are, but they've got something else going on that's troubling. We all do.
I think it's just a matter of how you let it show.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that you're around. Like, I can be completely collapsing around some people that will think I'm totally fine. But other people, like, I'll walk through the door and they're like, oh, wow, something is bad. Something bad happened. What is going on? Like, they sense it. Like, there's probably people that will see you out when you're absolutely losing your mind and they think you're holding your shit together pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But other people who know you can see through that. And maybe that's what it is. Like, kids can't hide it. Like, if a kid has a bad day, everybody knows it. Just across the board, you can like see it on their face. But then as you get older, you just learn to hide it. You learn to keep it all in.
You learn to compartmentalize.
You do. In front of certain audiences, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess maybe they are already. I mean, maybe that's just like, that's why when Lita comes home, you talk to her for half an hour, because she's been able to kind of compartmentalize all that during the day. And then when she gets home, she needs to download it.
Oh my God, that's exactly what it is. Because my mother has to help me out. She takes the kids. So the kids have, there's therapy every other week. And she comes and she takes whoever's turn it is to therapy. Because that is a 2.5 hour event at night. We'd have to leave the house at 4 o'clock, which cuts into my work day. So my mom, she said, Heather, I'm taking this burden off of you. I'm going to come take whichever child needs to go to therapy.
Well, and it's just one of them. So if you do it, you end up having to drag the other one along.
And I signed Lita up for a dance class on the same night that they go to therapy. And so I have to take Lita to dance, which is across town, of course. And my mom showed up yesterday, and like I saw my mom, and that's when the emotion just went, oh, and it just, and I was like, fuck, like I just need to like stop and catch my breath. That's all I want to do is stop and catch my breath. And it feels like every time I try, another email comes in that's a, you know, that is a complete fire, or my car, the headlight goes out, or you know the entire next Wednesday is dedicated to orthodonture. It's like, what is it? Just give me 2 peaceful days in a row.
Well, but maybe that just kind of hit on the real issue. I mean, it was however many episodes back when we had Hillary on, and we kind of talked about the daily download.
Yeah.
And that's what we miss by not having another parent with us at the same time.
Yes.
So that, I think, you know, Lita comes home and she downloads to you, and that works. That's how that's supposed to work. But you're not supposed to download to her, or at least not in the same way, you know, in kind of a filtered capacity. So then you don't have the ability to download all of that. Neither do I.
Right.
So we have to like absorb their download without being able to do our own. And that's a challenge.
It is a challenge.
So then ours just builds up and builds up and builds up, and then you snap. I mean, ultimately that's what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you just can't keep up with it.
Yeah, I find myself sitting at my computer screaming at an email, no, I don't have time to get on the phone with you. No, I don't know you. You haven't explained this project that you want me to work on at all. You want to talk on the phone first? No. No. And I'm talking out loud to the computer. Are you out of your mind? I'm going to take a screenshot of my calendar and send it to you. I am not going to hop on the phone with you. No.
But if there was someone else there, or there was going to be someone else there when they got home from work, you can have that, you know, 4-minute conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe this person who did this, blah, and then you laugh about it, you talk, and then that's it. Like, you've worked your way through it.
You've got the release. There's the release of it. Like, whew, I just needed to get that out. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, you didn't fix it. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't make it less absurd. But being able to unload that to someone really helps. But the problem then, when you, on the days where we totally lose it and we unload that on Lita or Lexton or Marlo, then they, like Lita, like she wants to Google how to fix your headlight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well-intentioned, but that's not her thing. And an adult would know that that's not their thing. They would know that you just needed to vent, essentially.
Yeah.
But without that vent, it's a challenge. Did you replace the headlight yet?
I took it in and they said they fixed it, and it's not fixed.
It's still out?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So they had to fix the oil, and they had to change the filter, and they did all that. They did an emissions test and all of that. And then, I'm so mad. Like, really? Like, ugh. I just want like 4 hours of uninterrupted time to like, you know.
And even that wouldn't be enough. I mean, my tire pressure light came on too when I was driving out of Chicago on the interstate at like 1 a.m. and the tire, and I remember it popping. And as soon as it popped up, immediately I was just like, no, fuck it. I'm just going to keep going. I'm not going to pull over on the interstate in the dark to figure this out. So then the next day I had to drive into Wisconsin, still didn't figure it out. Finally put air in the tires and the fucking light is still on. Like, I thought maybe it would turn. So now I know I have to schedule an appointment to go in and have them turn it off, which I'm sure is going to cost money just to turn off the damn light. But it takes, you know, a week to actually build in that stop to put air in. And then mm-hmm. it doesn't solve the problem. So I know it's just going to take me another week or three to schedule the damn appointment, which is going to mean going there, sitting there, waiting.
Right.
Yeah. We both had tire pressure lights in like the same window, though, which is pretty awesome.
Well, okay. So was there a heat wave in Chicago over the weekend?
Oh, God, yeah. Like 95 degrees just ended today.
Yeah, I was up in the mountains. And it snowed 7 inches.
Oh, yeah. I saw that on Instagram. I saw that photo when it was 95 degrees.
So my tires always lose their pressure when the temperature shifts. And it shifted last week, like overnight. Boom. It went from 80 degrees down to like 55 degrees during the day.
Yeah.
And so all of my tires, this is one of those annoyances where it's just like, if I had an extra hand, instead of going and spending my day sitting somewhere that doesn't have Wi-Fi.
Oh yeah, see, that makes it hard.
This is where it just came to me. Remember when I got home from France, and like France was magical because it was Paris, right? But it was also magical because I had so many consecutive uninterrupted hours to work and be creative. It was exhilarating to have that kind of privilege of having that many uninterrupted hours to be creative and write and to explore and to have peace. And then when I came home and I like looked around at what we do every day, it's like we need to give ourselves credit for getting through the calendar daily, you know? Like we all need to give ourselves credit. Like when we get to the end of the day, go, I may have lost it and I may not have done it right, but I got through the calendar today. Holy God. Holy God.
Right. You made it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't really matter in how many pieces you made it. And I've just started adding like all sorts of things to my calendar, little things, just so that I can look back and be like remember what was there.
Yeah.
Like all kinds of pickups and drop-offs and everything. Because otherwise I'll look back and think, well, what the hell? How did I not have time for this? Or how did this not happen? But now I look back and be like, oh my God, how did I do all that?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still here and now we're eating dinner. Like, it's pretty miraculous, all things considered. So yeah,
yeah,
we should all pat ourselves on the back.
I think we should. Give ourselves some credit. We did it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We kept the balance, or tried to.
The other night, I was singing Marlo with the 4 songs that we sing, and she was singing them with me. And the last song that I sing to her is You Are My Sunshine. And I only sing the first verse, and I get to the last part of it. I never get it right. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You never know, dear, how much I love you. And then I go, so please don't take my sunshine away. And she's like, that was wrong. Do it again. And I'm like, so please don't take my sunshine away. And she's like, okay, that was better. Do it again.
And now you like, but you don't mess it up intentionally.
No, I just get it wrong. I approach that one line thinking, how does that fucking line go? Shit, I gotta get it right.
But you don't have time to think, yeah, because you're singing.
It's the last part of my night. Here I am putting her to bed. Oh, get it right, Heather.
And you know that she's just laying there like, yeah, she's going to screw it up.
She's going to screw it up.
Let's see if she can get it in 3 tries.
And I'm going to punish her tomorrow in the morning when I am in a really shitty mood.
Maybe that's why. Maybe it's because you screw up the damn song.
Oh, man. Man, oh, man. Moods. Moods.
That's what this is all about.
Yes.
If you didn't ever have to deal with anyone else, it'd be okay.
Yeah.
Theoretically. It sounds nice, but in practice, that would probably be shit too.
Yeah. So yeah, our question to you is, how do you help your children hold together? What do you say to them when they come to you with a mood or a problem and you're trying to hold it together yourself? How do you compose yourself? What do you say? Do you have go-to phrases that you use? You can always send us email to stories@manicramblings.com and find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @manicramblings.
And until next time,
please don't take my sunshine away.
That was right.
I was right. I did it. I'm not going to remember it tonight, though.
Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Hey guys, it's Kayla Ewell from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken nuggets, now available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.